I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. This is the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall, KrisAnnHall.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. I am here with my husband and co-host JC Hall, and we do the research so that you can have the news the way it's supposed to be told. Fact, not fake. Principle, not political agenda. Yesterday on the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, we talked about freedom of speech throughout the entire show. And we got into the Alex Jones thing with YouTube and Spotify. And I think there's still some issues that need to be talked about. It just got so big. I feel like I don't have closure. And I don't know. You know me, dear. Got to have closure.
Absolutely.
Right? I am. Am I really that closure-minded kind of person?
Yep.
Ladies, don't do a radio show with your own husband if you don't want to hear the truth, right?
Or don't ask those kind of questions.
Don't ask those kind of questions. I am a closure person. Gotta have closure. So anyway, I want to talk to you about, we want to talk to you again about certain aspects of freedom of speech. But also yesterday, I promised that we were going to be giving you primary election advice. And I know we didn't get to it because the First Amendment thing got so big. So I want to make sure that we do that for you today. And I promise we will make sure we have time to do that today because it is a very, very important thing to talk about. Now, that some might say that there is an aspect of defamation here because as Silence Duguid said, and I want to, our Benjamin Franklin, as Silence Duguid said, he said, and I'll just read this again. Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man as far by it as he does not hurt or control the right of another. And here's the key. And this is the only check it ought to suffer and the only bounds it ought to know. So, obviously, to bring a First Amendment claim against someone, it has to be a government actor. I'm pretty sure we made that very clear in yesterday's Daily Journal, right? But you have an aspect of an individual who is not a government actor hurting or controlling the right of another. And we call that libel and we call that defamation. When your words as a private individual hurt another person, and your words are not based in fact, and your words are let me put it this way: if your words are presented as fact but they are false, you see, you can't really be charged with defamation. You can't really be charged with libel, which is a civil tort, not a criminal crime, if you are just issuing your opinion. Like if I say, Alex, I think Alex Jones is a complete and utter lunatic. I think that he's got some issues and he's completely biased and that he works, I believe that he works completely outside the realm of truth. He should be on some crazy, whacked out show at 3 o'clock in the morning on AM.
So if you said that as your opinion.
As my opinion.
It's just your opinion.
It's just my opinion.
Right.
But, and that's not libel or defamation, right? That's why the issue with the Southern Poverty Law Center is a very difficult issue to address, because they're a private entity giving opinions.
Yeah, but at the same time, so look at, for instance, what they said about you.
Yeah.
When somebody addressed this issue of hate or what have you, and they said, well, she's not teaching hate or violence, but the stuff that she teaches
incites,
can cause others to commit violence.
Now you've gone outside the realm of this opinion.
You are claiming an act of criminal nature. Right.
Right.
And you're attributing criminal activity to another person. You're the cause of this thing.
Right. So that's the difference. And I hope people see that. So it's a matter of asserting opinion versus asserting a fact to a physical consequence.
An accusation.
Yeah, good. An accusation. Most clearly, an accusation of crime. So now, if I said that Alex Jones, if I went on and said Alex Jones is extorting money from his advertisers, Alex Jones robbed a bank, Alex Jones molested a child, God forbid, those are accusations, and from which come the crimes of libel and slander.
So now looking at the other way around, so what they accuse Jones of. So matter of fact, let me go back. You said, you quoted Franklin there about harming. So when you said, as long as it doesn't hurt.
Or harm the right of another.
So that seems to me the crux of it.
Right.
How do you define that? Because, you know, today, when you say hurt, you have this, oh, you hurt my feelings. I don't like that. That's hurt to the modern society. It's hurt. Mm-hmm. It made me feel bad. Mm-hmm. Is that hurt?
No.
It can be to an extent, right?
But what you have to understand is that slander and libel are civil actions. Mm-hmm. Civil actions involve personal property or money, right? So in order to have a libel or defamation claim, you must assert that you have been financially damaged or your property has been removed from you. Hurt feelings are not financial damage. You must show that there are tangible, that's probably the better word, tangible damages as a result of these accusations.
Right. But you do have this idea of emotional distress, but doesn't that have to be connected to intent?
Emotional distress has to be
intended. Or connected to some other physical harm.
It has to be connected to some other physical harm. So emotional distress is a claim in tort. However, it is not a standalone claim, because how do you monetize emotional distress? You have to remember, in tort claims, in civil law claims, we're dealing with loss of property or money, which is why when you think of civil claims from a constitutional perspective, you have to think of the Seventh Amendment, okay? And it says, in the right of all civil actions which exceed what? $20. Mm-hmm. So that's our little key reminder that civil actions are issues that deal with physical, tangible losses.
Physical. So really sort of monetary, something that
monetary,
you could monetize.
Mostly monetize. Right, or loss of personal property.
That's what I was trying to say.
Property, right. And what's interesting, in the founders' understanding, your money was your physical property, right? So when they took taxes from you, they took your physical property. I think we have that disconnect today, but when we say property, we do mean money.
So many are looking at this 1974 case, Gertz v. Robert Welch, Inc., for similarities, I guess.
Because the Sandy Hook people are suing Alex Jones,
right?
Because they're
saying this is a false story
has
caused distress. And I mean, now they're specifically claiming, similarly to SPLC we talked about, that because of what he said, people have harassed them.
Yes.
And so other people have, you know, have, I mean, really it's sort of the other people have caused them direct harm.
Well,
but they're blaming Alex Jones. It's your fault, therefore we sue you.
Right, but you also, what people don't realize is that Alex Jones is making a claim of criminal activity because lying to, in an official investigation, lying to a government agent, which would in this case would be the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, local police, is a crime.
Yeah, so if he's saying, well, they're crisis actors, this really didn't happen to them.
Right.
Then when they say that,
they
then
say
he's
that.
Saying you're saying that, then that is giving a false report.
That is giving a false report, report, so,
yeah,
which is a crime.
Of committing a crime.
He's now, accusing him of committing
but,
a crime,
but
right.
But to their direct claim about, you know, this has happened to us, other people, I mean, shouldn't that be directed to the other people? Wouldn't they have to prove in court? So Alex Jones said, oh, yeah, I intended people or I directed people to come and harass you.
Right. No, that's
you
right.
You can't
that,
just say people
no.
did this because he said that.
No, inciting someone is a very specific term. And the courts, even common law courts back in England, inciting required that you actually make the direction. You go harass them. Right?
Yeah.
You have to give a specific, direct command.
Yeah.
Okay? So if I stand up and say, Dianne Feinstein is ruining our Constitution and she is destroying America and she is her laws that she puts forward are destroying the future of our children.
So you should go burn a couch in her front yard.
Now, if I just say that, I'm not yeah. inciting.
But if
now
you
it may
somebody,
make people feel yeah. angry.
But if
right?
you tell somebody to do something, go
right.
burn a couch in her front
if
yard.
If I say now because she's doing this, go rip her furniture out of a house and burn it on her front lawn, which obviously I'm not saying. But if I said that, that would be inciting, right? So there's the difference. And so we these are not easy issues. These are complex issues. And the issue of libel also has a higher standard if you are considered a public entity.
Public
so
figure,
public
like
figures,
Alex Jones is a
right
would be a public
would
figure.
Be a public figure. The fact that he is complaining that he's losing 2.7 million followers because of YouTube proves that he is a public figure.
Right.
You know, so there are higher standards for that. We can talk about that when we get back from the break. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, and we are getting into, wow, we're really getting into the meat of this slander libel thing, and I think that it's, I hope that you enjoy the depth of the education that we're getting today. This is practically a law school class, you know? It's really interesting, and with slander and libel, as we talked about when we came out of the break, there's a higher standard for public figures. And some people might think that's not fair, but we got to remember why that is. Remember, Silence Duguid said this. Benjamin Franklin said this. Men ought to speak well of their governors, it is true, while their governors deserve to be well spoken of. But to do public mischief without hearing of it is only the prerogative and felicity of tyranny. A free people will be showing they are so by their freedom of speech. So you have to have a broader ability to speak against people who have public figures. Why? Because public figures have what? Greater power, right? So there's got to be greater protection for the speaker against a public official, because if there is not, the public official shuts down the speech with just simply a word.
Gotcha.
So we have these distinctions here, and obviously this is, we're just scratching the surface here, and we can't do all of this here. I would say if you want to have a better understanding of this, you know, come to Liberty First University. We'll be having courses on these sorts of things, or the River School of Government will be teaching these things. Don't forget riverschoolofgovernment.com if you want to know. And, you know, our friend, you know what? You don't know this. Debbie told me this. Our friend Debbie in California says that she is considering going to Tampa to study under the River School of Government.
Cool.
And and here's the thing. Debbie's like, I'm not going to get a degree, right? Like, no, you're not going to get a law degree from the River School of Government. But I think this emphasis on accreditation and degreed programs is leading to the deliberate dumbing down of America. Do you think Benjamin Franklin, when he was 16 and learning what he did, was worried if he was going to get a degree or not?
No.
And frankly, do degrees in America today result in employment?
Well, actually, there's a shift I've read about where that business leaders, CEOs, entrepreneurs are looking less at the degree, like that's not the end-all be-all. You know, they're hiring people looking at their experience, so they want to see sort of the sum total of what you know based on what you've done. So mm-hmm. it's not, the degree is not, does not have such primacy as it had in the past. I noticed that.
Well, maybe it's because we have such stupid degrees today.
I think so.
You know, I mean, you have people, I saw this post on Facebook the other day, and I was trying to find it. I can't find it right now. Where this millennial, you know how they hold signs and make memes. This is like, I got a degree in fine arts. I have $30,000 in student loans. I'm on, and now I have to get food stamps because I can't get a job.
Whose fault is that, moron?
Right? You spent $30,000 on a degree in fine arts? What the heck is that? Right? Don't come whining to me because you didn't actually do any serious studying. And that's what I'm trying to say. If America needs to fall in love with truth, needs to fall in love with education again, if we're ever going to... Benjamin Franklin said, Thomas Jefferson said that if a people wish to be ignorant and free in the state of society, they wish for what never was and never will be. Just because you went to college doesn't mean you're not ignorant.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I think quite to the contrary today.
Yeah, in some situations for sure, depending on where you're going.
Hey, parents, why aren't we investing in education rather than debt? Isn't that what they're doing? You're investing in debt. You're giving our children an education in something they cannot use that is not even useful. I know that the River School of Government is like $2,000 a year. Why wouldn't you want your children to have useful information? And like you said, colleges are looking for people who have real education rather than this deliberate dumbing down. Hey, when we come back, we are going to be talking about the advice for primary elections. Now, I know we already had 5 states who had theirs, but you can get your Liberty First advice right after the break.
As there again, men tear up our Constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution, standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going to change all the things I've
been. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here and with my husband and co-host, JC Hall. Hey, JC, I need to ask you a question. Because you know I'm this closure kind of person, and we just dealt with this really big subject. Do you think that we're good now on this First Amendment issue? I just need you to, your opinion of closure.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you have closure ever, but I mean, it's a big issue. I see the, you know, in the discussions, I see these cases. I really want to read these cases, because it's always interesting to see how these justices reason these things, right? Relative to what the founders have said, you can kind of get an idea of probably where they're going to head, and of course, ending up in the Supreme Court now with the makeup of the Supreme Court, you know, you can kind of see. But the Gertz v. Robert Welch, Inc., 1974, keeps coming up. Then the Rosenblum v. Metro Media, 1971, New York Times Company versus Sullivan, 1964. These seem to be the three cases that they keep discussing as far as looking to precedent. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see that. Of course, there's some similar parallels in the Gertz case, because it was, I guess, a guy was shot by a police officer, and the lawyer Gertz, representing the family, sued the police officer, and then the paper wrote that Gertz was some communist provocateur attacking the police, local police, so that they could replace it, communists could replace it with a national police force. So then Gertz sued the newspaper because of this article, saying, you know, claiming this conspiracy against the police that he was involved in, whatever. And so that's the one where they were saying.
So we should do a review of these cases and then address this another time.
It's huge. So there's a lot to it. I mean, if you really want to understand probably where they're going to go and, you know, what could be the possible outcome. But I think it has pretty big ramifications. I think this case against Jones, is probably going to be significant to the First Amendment, no matter which way it goes, win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
This will be a kind of building block.
I mean, right.
This will have an impact. There's no doubt about it. So it's an important thing. I mean, it seems, you know, people, oh, this is fringe. No, this is not fringe at this point. This will have significant impact on how the court and the government and these corporate entities handle your free speech.
Yeah, and I think it's you made me feel better about not feeling closure. So there is
until you get to the end of this case.
Well, I think we should take an episode talking about this case because it is very relevant, like you said, based on the composition of our Supreme Court and the potential competition.
And it's also going to drive the national conversation around free speech. This kind of stuff sparks this discussion.
Yeah.
So you need to inject truth into the discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So why are we talking about primary election advice? Well, because I got contacted by a friend of ours.
Yeah.
He's a member of the Coast Guard. We've known him for quite some time. We've known his wife, practically her whole life, right? And he sends me this message on Facebook, and I just want to share it with you. He says, sorry to bug you. I feel more educated than most because I listen to your show and Jason's show. He's talking about our friend Jason Stapleton, right? With that being said, knowing how important the primaries are, I'm doing my level best to make an educated, well-informed decision on who to cast my vote to. Even with all of the knowledge and information you two have armed me with, I still have one simple question. What is the best way to research each candidate? I'm trying, but it's hard to trust any article on the internet regarding political candidates anymore. Me and my wife have the added hurdle of not living in the state we vote in because they're Coast Guard. Mm-hmm. He says, like I said, I truly feel so much more educated because of you and Jason. But I tragically realized, even with everything that I have learned and the fact that I care about this more than 98% of my friends and coworkers, I am still trying to figure it out. So that also got me thinking, if I'm asking that question, how many other people are afraid to ask because of sounding ignorant? You are by far the best person I know to ask, so any knowledge and advice would be greatly appreciated. And so, you know, we have friends that contact us like this all the time, but it really struck me that he said, because I'm asking this, maybe other people are asking it too.
Yeah, well, you asked me, and I said, yeah, I want to hear your answer because I kind of have the same questions. I mean, it's a great question. How do you figure out? We face this every election season, and we're locked in more than most.
Mm-hmm.
And I still sometimes look at these guys, and we sort of follow throughout the mm-hmm. year. We follow constantly and get to know and watch and observe the people and how they are. And I feel that way sometimes. Here comes the ballot. Here it's time. And it seems like they purposefully make it difficult for you to find out who they are. And so it is a challenge in trying to make your choice. And so I when you the way you responded to him, I thought was fantastic as far as how you said the method of mm-hmm. figuring this out.
Well, obviously the best way to do it is to be as informed and involved as you can. So what I said to him, I'm like, at this point there's no single or easy answer that's going to give you the best choice.
Yeah, sure.
You're getting ready to go vote, right? Yeah. So obviously this is something you ought to be working at all year round.
Right.
This eternal vigilance thing. I said, but the possibility, but you can possibly eliminate the worst.
Yeah.
Right? So you can do a process of elimination at this point. Now, most people, they try to rely on political parties.
Yeah, don't go to their website. Right? Well, you can go to their website.
Right.
Yeah.
So, that measure is not really, Republican versus Democrat is not always the best litmus, especially on the local level.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to shock people.
Let's just say people in our area, for instance.
Yes.
Republicans. We'll vote. Now, we live in North Florida. We mm-hmm. live in rural North Florida's conservative area.
Mm-hmm.
So the locals will vote Democrat
right.
locally.
Right.
And they always vote Republican nationally.
Right. Because Democrat in a rural setting isn't the same as a Democrat in New York City.
The fact of the matter is some of the local conservative Democrats on the local level where we are more closely match the platform of
the
Republican
Party. Right, right. And so what I mentioned to
now,
him
those
is
folks,
that
those folks will never enter into national politics.
No.
So many people, you don't know such Democrats exist.
Right,
but
right.
they do.
Right. And so the point that I made with him, I said, you know, locally you can choose not based on party. Yeah. But that means what you're choosing them on is based on their personal criteria, which is how we ought to be electing people to begin with.
Their character.
Their character, their political history, who they are, what they know, what their standards are. See, that's the criteria.
And you can know their political ideology, their political philosophy.
Right.
At local level, you can find out. Well, at least in our, you know, small areas like mm-hmm. ours. Now, I don't know about, you know, you live in Chicago and you're this alderman and that alderman. I don't know how that works.
Well, you absolutely can because...
I guess it's the same.
Yeah, it's the same. And here's the thing. Because you ought to be going to their meetings.
Yeah.
You sure. ought... I mean, this is part of the political process. The political process doesn't begin and end at the voting ballot. The political process begins and ends when you every single day. You attend the meetings, you see what they say, you vote, you see what they vote on, and you follow them. That is the criteria that we're supposed to be voting people.
Yeah, so our local area, you know, so we have people that go to these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So you have sources, even if you
right.
don't go personally.
Right.
You can be part of that, like, I'll go to a meeting every now and again and report back or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get local, you know, local paper,
well,
local
that's
newspaper,
why,
different things like that.
And
so
that's why grassroots groups are so important.
Yeah. So you have
local
sources.
Groups, yeah. So you have to have trusted sources. Now, you can eliminate candidates from your voting list and by going to their websites and social media. Most candidates, even at the lowest local levels, have social media. They have websites. They give you their platform.
So that's what
quick one.
And that's what I like, the way that you answered this idea, process of elimination.
Right.
So you observe what they say, what they do, and you can find that information in their social media,
right,
on their website. I don't know so much news articles, because we know how distorted, we know from personal experience. I don't trust anything to be accurately reported in the news article. But their own words. So when they say things on their social media,
right,
when they say things on their website, what they've wrote on their written on their website, you know, that's supposed to represent what they believe, who they are. So then when you, so what you're saying, you look at that, when you see things that are contrary,
that are offensive to your principles,
okay, then you can say, okay, not that guy.
Not that guy, right. Now remember, even articles will quote what people say, but they're also sometimes taking them out of context.
I don't trust that. I don't trust another source conveying what this person says.
Right, and remember, websites and social media are literally first source information.
Right. Their own websites.
Their own websites, as if the words are coming out of their mouth.
Because
you've
been.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had interviews and reporters and sat in front of reporters, and they sit there with recorders.
Yeah.
They hit record so they can play it back later, and then we read the articles later.
What?
Like, that's not what you said.
What?
So I don't trust that stuff. But if it's their social media, their website, they said it, then you can say, okay, this guy says we should be able to indefinitely detain Americans, you know, without due process. So mark
you're
him
gone.
Off.
Right. So once you've done that, you can go with it, whoever's left. You go on to step two, which we'll get back to you with after the break.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. We're talking about making your primary choices. Your primary election is the place where you get the most choices, but remember, the primary election is where you don't have the right to that choice, because primaries are where the private corporate clubs are choosing their representative for the general election. Remember, primary elections are not civic functions. They are private corporate club functions.
Right.
And so people get upset about closed primaries. Well, you shouldn't be upset about closed primaries, because a primary is not a public civic function. What you should be upset about is tax dollars funding primary elections, if you're going to be upset about that sort of thing. So remember, our process at this point is a process of elimination. This is not the ideal process, because the ideal process means you go to the meetings, you see these people, you speak to them personally, you get to know them, and then you make your decision based on those criteria. But at this point, with the primaries coming up this year, and some of them coming up in weeks, the process of elimination. Go to their website, go to their social media, and if their principles are offensive to yours, scratch them off the list. And then everybody that's left, right? So this is a process of elimination. The real solution is to recognize how you feel right now. That I'm like, oh, crap, who do I vote for, right? And endeavor to make a prolonged effort throughout the year.
Yeah.
So feel this way, right? So you're doing this process of elimination. Step two then is to go a little bit deeper. Maybe you have time to call them up and talk to them. Maybe you have time to attend a couple meetings. Maybe you have time to go to someone or go to a meeting where people will have actually had experience with these people and talk to them.
You know, it just dawned on me the mentality of that we run into of people's idea of involvement in self-government is voting,
yeah.
Right? It's just
mm-hmm.
voting. So
it's
we
just voting.
We run into a ton of people. So they have this idea or this disposition that I just cannot, I can't pay attention to this stuff. And it's just so depressing and blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right.
But I vote. But so if you're not ever paying attention
and you're voting,
how in the world are you voting when it comes time to vote? So mm-hmm. so you're right that you need to have a look in throughout the year to be kind of paying attention to mm-hmm. who people are,
right,
and find out. So when it comes time, you're equipped to vote, to do your civic duty, as
right,
they say.
Right. Now, judges on the ballot are a completely different process because most jurisdictions, voting jurisdictions, shield judges from the political process. They actually prohibit judges from talking about where they stand on certain issues
yeah.
by quote-unquote election laws,
yeah.
which
most of them are classified as nonpartisan.
Yeah, which I find completely offensive to the process of representation.
Yeah.
If I'm going to vote for you, you must tell me how you think on things.
Correct.
If you are prevented by law from teaching me how, telling me how you think on things, then I ought not be voting for you.
Well,
somebody ought to be appointing you.
That's just another aspect of how messed up our judicial system
Absolutely.
is.
They're just shielded from everything. So I have a philosophy with judges, and it's a very simple philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
When in doubt, vote them out.
Yeah.
If you don't know who they are, if you don't know where they stand, do not let them stay. See, our judges have enjoyed the benefits of this shielding because we allow them to continue to run like this.
Yeah. Without us knowing anything about them.
Without them. So if we start eliminating them from their positions because we don't know anything, I have a sneaking suspicion that they might be
yeah.
more motivated.
Somebody's going to change the system.
To say, hey, we'll tell you what we think so we can keep our jobs. So remember, with judges, when in doubt, vote them out. It's the only way the system will change. Well, I hope that this helps a little bit. I hope that this gives you some direction. Remember, Liberty First is a daily function. And we can help you make those decisions here with the Chris Ann Hall Show. Share the show. Sign up for our emails. God bless. And we'll see you on Saturday.
I received. Let me know.